You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Can you guys help me with what the rules are on seat saving, and especially seat saving at a bar specifically? What are the rules of etiquette on? Very often, I will have a reservation somewhere at a restaurant, and they will not seat me until my entire party is there.
That's annoying when they do that at restaurants. I get it. If there's one of eight, then don't sit me. But once four people are here, come on. Let me at the table.
You're getting an extra round of drinks out of us probably while we wait. What's the harm?
The reason is, though, if it's a crowded place, they can't turn over the tables as quickly. And so you're getting an extra round of drinks possibly, but you could have a whole new clientele come in and you could possibly keep the seat for an hour if you're waiting for somebody. If you're waiting for Pablo Torre or someone else who's inconsiderate about time, you could be waiting a while.
About the seats at you bring up the seats at the bar, though. This is something I run into pretty regularly. Before bowling on Wednesday nights, me, my dad, a couple other members of the team, we meet up at a local establishment to have a brew before beering.
A beer before bowling. Alrighty. Yes.
And so my dad always runs late. So I always run into a situation where it's me and my buddy and the bar's starting to fill up. And how do we feel about the chair move?
That's the move.
Yeah, but then it's like,
what's the chair move? You're just leaning the chair against the bar so to show to everyone this empty chair is not actually empty.
I've never seen that move.
What?
I've never heard that in my life.
What are you talking about?
Been at a bar and seen the chair lift? That's like, I'm saving this seat.
Yeah.
Now, I get weird with that move because people will come up and be like, can I use this? If you don't do the move, people are like, is anyone sitting here?
Right.
When can I say yes? The answer, this is really what I'm asking. When my dad is 10 minutes away, can I lie and just say, yeah, this seat's taken? Or yes. I can.
Yeah, you can tell him, hey,
how long can I hold
parking.
That seat, though? I can't do that for a half hour. A
couple minutes, but hey, my dad's parking. Sorry.
Sometimes I'm so socially awkward, I'll order a beer sometimes and just put it there. Even if it gets warm and it's not
it's
there for 15 minutes, just because I don't want the interaction.
A decoy beer.
I mean, you know, my dad drinks it. Let's not like, yeah, yeah. Like it gets drank.
Warm and all.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I don't want the awkward of, oh yeah, they'll be here soon, so no, can I?
It's basically the Seinfeld bit where they're saving the seats at the movie theater.
Yes.
And people keep coming to try to sit in it, and then they keep turning people away, and then eventually they're like so awkward.
I don't
like
awkward.
Fine.
Yes, I don't like that. I'll buy the beer, put a beer there.
That's insane.
No, it's not.
I don't know what's crazier, that this chair thing that Lucy and I have never heard of, even though I have bar bona fides, okay? I go to a lot of bars. Yeah.
I've never seen
anyone do this with the chair.
You've never seen the chair up on the bar.
And I've never bought a decoy beer for anyone.
That's also a move if I'm at a bar and I need to use the restroom. Exactly. And it's a crowded bar and I'm worried that my seat might get scooped up. I step up, lean it up, and now you know this seat is taken.
That's the official sign. Like when you're at a bar by yourself, I was at Flannery's the other day by myself having lunch.
Thanks for the invite.
It was a quick thing. So I had to go to the bathroom, but you can't just leave your food and your beer there with, you know, contaminants and other people that might want to put a finger in your fries. Who knows?
That the weird move, I've seen this move. Someone goes to the bathroom and they take a napkin and like put it over their drink.
I've just never seen case, anyone yeah. do that
or a
either.
Coaster. They put like a coaster over their drink because they're worried about someone
well,
messing
but
with
no,
them.
Women have to be careful. I've seen in men bars do it with their drink.
Yeah, yeah but
no.
if someone's trying to do something to my drink, they'll take the napkin off and put it in.
My
while
point
I'm
is,
gone. You don't go to a bar by yourself and order a drink.
My point
and leave
is,
it at a bar.
I'll bring my drink to the bathroom.
Yeah. I think it's at for the bar? Bartender, so the bartender knows not to take it. Because sometimes people leave half a beer and then they'll take it. So if you put the coaster or napkin on top, tells the bartender, hey, wait a second, there's somebody sitting here, the food's there, the beer's there, the chair's over. It's almost more for the bartenders than for anybody else.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show. Do you, because you guys seem confused by this. Lucy seems like she is learning something here about chairs, but put it on the poll. Do you take your drink with you into the bathroom?
I've never seen the chair thing or heard of the chair thing. I'm assuming that I probably have, and I've probably taken somebody's seat is what I'm realizing right now. I just don't get why you wouldn't bring a jacket and just put a jacket on the chair.
Because they live in Florida. They Miami, don't bring yeah. jackets anywhere, Lucy. This is the whole ridiculous thing. It's like we live in a different America than these people.
I read the other day and couldn't believe this, and I don't, the math on this eludes me, but that 5% of Americans, I don't believe it's the globe, I believe Americans, are now having sex more often in order to stay warm because of rising utility bills.
I'm going to use that one.
You're not
kinda
already?
Kind of doesn't work here.
Honey,
though.
Come here.
Are people in Florida are doing less sex because they don't want to pay for the AC.
What's the source on that one?
Well, you're right, Roy, that it's hard. It is
I'm
hard.
Turn my air way down.
It is difficult to quantify how did they find this 5% of people who are copping to, yes, I'm cheap about electricity, and also I like to trick my partner into warmth. But it did. I will look up the source for you in a second. But it was 5% of people are actually doing that to stem rising utility costs.
So it's 5% of people having more sex to pay for less heat.
That's right.
You could just not watch the heat games. I've been doing it for years.
Dan's not wrong. 7 days ago, New York Post, Americans are having sex to save on monthly heating bills.
Oh, man, that's cool.
I know, I deserve it.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dan Lebatard.
You need to listen to Kushlash.
Who's that?
Stugatz.
Kushlash.
Kushlash, 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 Kushlash.
Wow.
That cleared things up.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We are now joined by the one and only Mina Kimes. Yeah. Mina. Woo. Welcome, Mina.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh. It's an honor that you guys are rocking with me.
Wow. Was that a Clay
good
impression?
One.
Rocking with you on a Friday. Old school.
Mina, we have to talk to you about Love is Blind.
We I'm ready. Born ready.
Wait,
so
let me hit a sounder first. Let me hit a sounder first.
Spoiler alert. Sorry. Good job. All
right. Is it a spoiler if it came out on Wednesday? This is, well, anyways, whatever. Yeah, it's, I guess, spoiler.
yeah, if you're not caught up, if you haven't watched the reunion, Mina, first of all, what did you think of the reunion? Because I feel like I was left with more questions than answers.
Thank you. Yeah, first of all, I did a recap show with Dave Dennis Jr. You guys can check out on youtube.com/@MinaKimes. Please subscribe if you aren't already. We do a lot of fun stuff there. I had mixed feelings about it. I think the production team, Vanessa, Nick, they've clearly grown from the debacle that was the live reunion, not just technologically, and they did, this wasn't actually live, but also, you know, they asked a lot of the questions that the internet wanted answered. So I have to give them some credit. It wasn't as bad. However, a lot left on the table. You guys alluded to it before we started taping. I felt Jimmy and Chelsea was probably one of the most intriguing storylines of the season, and barely any questions, any screen time for two of them. In fact, they focused more on Jimmy and Jess and gave Jess the time to litigate in great and boring detail an interview Jimmy gave. I was not interested in this at all. I suspect the show did it because Jess is the biggest internet star to come out of this season, which is why she was given main floor seating despite not being in a couple, which... good on you, Jess. So I didn't love that. I also feel like there were things I wanted to know more about Brittany and Kenneth and the racial aspect of their breakup relationship. So they didn't get into that, but they did, I thought, a pretty good job with the Laura Sarah and Jeremy triangle of sadness, as I call them. And ultimately, I think the way they'd handled the Trevor situation with reenacting the text in real time was brilliant.
That was awesome. When he just
so
was
well
like,
done.
Can I just go? Can I just leave? I respected that so much. I would do that in any conversation I'm uncomfortable. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to leave.
He froze up. I think because... the truth is that he wasn't actually in love with the woman who he was texting with. And he also came on the show for bad reasons. So he had no good answer. He came on and he said, you know, I had a whole thing planned. He was going to say, I don't know what that thing was, because there's really no way for him to get out of this. But
I feel also like, for those of you who didn't watch this guy, Trevor, comes on. He has a girlfriend before. And
spoiler
he says,
alert. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Allegedly.
He says, well, we saw the text. He said, I love you.
I would have refuted the text, by the way. I would have been like, guys, this is not real.
Yeah. Well, he didn't. And then Nick Lachey sort of goes really hard in on Trevor and Sarah Ann, being like, if you didn't come here for love, you are robbing people of an opportunity. And I'm like, dude, you're doing this to be on TV. Like, there is an aspect that, like, this is a show on TV. There is part of it that you're doing to be on TV. It was like very sanctimonious.
Way too much time spent defending the integrity of the show, right? And to your point with Sarah Ann, like, they were so upset she made a video saying it was reality TV. This is a reality television, is not the grammar sometimes kills me. But anyways, they were so mad at that. And they were like, how dare you, this was real. How dare you call this entertainment? And when she said they didn't show any of her relationship with Jeremy, Vanessa was like, that's because he didn't pick you. Okay, so... I mean, that was an editing choice. And then to transition from defending the integrity of the show to saying next season on Perfect Match really took me out as the big reveal.
So something that we talked about earlier, they didn't really hit on Jimmy or Chelsea at all. But during the ceremony, I don't know if you noticed this, they were very touchy-feely. He had his arm around her. There were some legs, some leg touch. We don't know the state of what Jimmy and Chelsea are. What do you think it is?
Well, there also have been sightings of them, right, at a wedding, at a restaurant in Florida. And it's funny because the reunion was so conscious of internet rumors and things. And again, like the Sarah Ann video, they were so mad. Oh, you spoiled it for the audience by appearing in a TikTok. Like, that was the transgression that they were harping on. But more than, I don't know, Trevor's ex accusing him of revenge porn. Like, no, let's get mad at Sarah Ann for spoiling the show. But anyways, they didn't address that at all. And I found that really confusing. I did feel like Chelsea was kind of protected throughout the reunion. Like, they didn't go hard on her. The Megan Fox thing, they completely missed a point, which is not that she doesn't look like Megan Fox, it's that she planted the idea in Jimmy's head. No one addressed that.
speaking of ruining the sanctity of the process, right? You could tell also the cast is all, they're all really good friends with her. Like, they were all defending her. And that was one of my takeaways from the union. Like, I feel like there's a really strong girl group of friends, Jess, AD, Chelsea, and Laura. And that sort of hovered over, like, there was, like, alliances playing out, and they were kind of protecting each other.
I feel like we've seen that every season now. It becomes a popularity contest, and the people who do well in the reunion are the group of friends who have managed to stay a group of friends, and then they gang up on the people who have not been groups of friends, which always, to me, is just also lame. I just felt like Nick and Vanessa, there were major... The only things that I really wanted to know is what happened after the weddings? Did you guys try to date each other again? And are you dating now? And they didn't ask Jimmy or Chelsea or AD and Clay either of those questions. So I'm going to start a petition to get a sideline reporter in there, because I need someone who's going to get real answers.
It felt like they wanted to redeem certain people, and at the cost of asking serious questions. Like, for example, for Clay to come out and say to AD, she's the love of my life, twice, and AD clown nose being like, oh yeah, I'd date him again, of course. If I'm the host, I'm like, okay, it's been a year. Have you guys gone on any dates?
Yes.
Has he communicated this to you at all in the year? Or did he wait and see how popular you were on the internet and the reception to the show and decide to spring this on you? Because that is, I think, pretty pertinent. Or, for example, look, Jeremy and Sarah suck. I want to be clear.
The worst.
Laura revealed that, like, the incident of the location tracking happened the day she's like, and he met my family and we were going to get married. Pause. You mean when your family told you to stop bullying him?
Yeah. They were like, you're really mean to this guy. And she was like, he can take it.
I hate Hawaiian shirts, though.
I thought Jeremy looked okay. Some questionable fashionable decisions, though, all around.
I mean, I actually did see an Access Hollywood or an E something gossip magazines, forgive me for not getting this right, where Chelsea was interviewed at the red carpet thing and they said, did you and Jimmy date? And I was like, well, that's the one thing I wanted to know. This was on Chelsea's story. And she said, we tried after the show wrap for about 4 days. And now we're just on. He's been a great support system for me. We're just really good friends. Folks, I don't buy it. Do you buy that, Mina?
That they're not dating or that he's been a great support system?
Well, both.
I think he's a fraud. I want to
go on.
He's a fraud. I think he's full of crap. I think he is, frankly, Jeremy's point, very concerned about his image. And I feel like, I don't think they dated. I do think they've probably hooked up. I mean, all these people.
They're all messy. Yeah.
Well, the show makes it seem like once the wedding is over, they can never see each other again, right? It's like, or even when they break up, it's like Hunger Games, where like their faces get shot into the sky. Like when right. Ken and Brittany broke up, it's like, oh, that's it. They're done. They're dead to the show. I don't think that's true. I think a lot of them kind of stay in touch and probably hook up, but I don't think they're together. I think that they're just teasing it for clout.
Fraud.
Is Sarah Ann a girl's girl?
No.
I don't think any of them are girls' girls. Sorry, okay. Just putting that out there.
Sarah Ann, in her defense.
Nope. I'm out.
I said this to David. I was like, the second when, look, I turned, when they were in the pod and she was like, I'm a patriot, talking about her politics.
Okay.
It was, again, like I, you know, when you have represent, she's half Asian. So I was like, no, not one of ours, you know? In her defense, she treated their relationship like a meaning Laura and Jeremy's relationship, like a 2-week relationship. She was like, why should I respect your engagement?
Right.
It's been 2 weeks. And honestly, some validity to that. Now, she stinks. I don't like her. But I'm just saying, this comes down to like the whole like who respects the sanctity of the show sort of thing. I don't really think what she did was so bad.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know. I can't really take any of it like fully seriously in terms of, because you're like, this is a show. Kenneth and Brittany, though. Oh. I mean, they talk
unanswered
every day.
Questions.
They FaceTime. What, Tony?
Unanswered questions. A lot of questions there that we didn't have any of the answers to.
They're just best friends? I don't know.
Well, FaceTime
at work? The question I had was whether or not the breakup was reenacted, as has been alleged.
I didn't hear that, really?
Yeah, there's a, I think Jess said it actually in an interview. So this isn't even like a TikTok theory that part of the reason why Ken looks so detached and unemotional when they broke up is that they made them reenact it for the cameras.
I saw a girl post that on TikTok though, and Brittany commented and was like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Wow. Like, that's not true.
Well, maybe Brittany might want to be on Perfect Match 3, except she doesn't strike me as the type to go on Perfect Match 3. Are you excited for Perfect Match, Mina?
I was so worried when they showed Micah and Izzy that the reveal was going to be that they were dating.
Same.
It's like when someone has, like, I don't know, like a stack of pancakes and ketchup and they're holding the ketchup over the pancakes and you're like, oh my God, don't combine those two things. Yeah, don't do it. And then they revealed that they were both on Perfect Match. I mean, Dave and I both watch Perfect Match. It is truly the dregs of the dregs. But yes, I watch it. I will watch every minute of
Same.
It.
Same.
Yeah. Trevor's going to be on. They like didn't acknowledge that because he had takes so hard.
The whole thing is messy. Perfect Match is the messiest you can get. I love it. Unabashedly. Mina, thank you so much for sharing your Love is Blind wisdom. I can't wait for the next season, mostly just to hear what you have to say about it.
Oh, I appreciate it. As I said, thank you for having me. Thank you for rocking with me.
I'm not above you. I'm not below you. I'm right there with you. Right there with you.
Fraud.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Levitard.
I mean, they used to call me Chris Karaoke.
Stugatz.
Karaoke.
That back row is bringing it today.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Craig, it's nice to see your face. Your face makes me happy. The last time I saw your face, it was playing a piano at the Comedy Store a few months ago to close out what it was a magical night for me, because I know it's such a small world, that world of comedians, and it was just talent after talent after talent on a stage. It was like seven or eight comedians, all of them making a good living, funny people. And then you closed out the show, and it wasn't just stand-up comedy, but you were doing music as well. So it's nice to see you again. We'll talk about your show in a second. But I don't know what you get the most joy out of doing professionally, but it looked like singing and laughter was at the top of the list when you closed that show out.
That would definitely be the most joy. That's the funnest thing I do, is get up on that stage and get the people, interacting with me.
Why is it more fun than acting? Why is it more fun than The Office, the TV show that you have on Peacock, killing it, The Masked Dancer? Why is it more fun?
Instant gratification is because it's something that I wrote and thought I wonder, could this happen and. Then it happens. So it was something that tingles inside my spine.
Who are the comedians you most admire?
Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Bill Cosby. There's a long list. Stephen Wright. I had Martin Mull in there. Steve Martin. I'm all over the place with it, man.
That's all old?
But most would be Richard Pryor. He's at the top.
But those are all old school stand-ups. I'm surprised.
He's old school.
I know he's old school, but he's working with contemporaries. Look, Craig, you must be fascinated by the business of comedy, right? It's a hard way to make a living.
Pretty much. Yeah. But nowadays you got the Nate Bargatzes and the, Steve. I can't think of Steve's last name. Don't kill me, Steve. But yes, yeah, it's a bunch of them out there now that's leading the charge. And I have Corey Holcomb. From Chicago, Godfrey, all these guys, that I looked up to coming up. Those are a couple of examples.
What is it that you get the most gratification on from television?
You mean which show, or what do you mean?
No, just like in terms of creating something that's not just sit around and wait and cash a check or make money, but you're fulfilled by what it is that you're making because it allows yourself to sort of push through some creative limits.
You know what's interesting about that is like the thing, the projects that come across, even it's like this Cup Noodles campaign. It's stuff that's like catered, and like you see people are writing to have fun and writing to, you know, intelligence. So I've been getting fed creatively, but killing it has been a big creative force, especially working with those guys, Dan and Luke from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So it's been a lot of like when something's I'm approaching something, it seems to be very specific to being funny and being, you know, something a cut above.
You mentioned Cup Noodles and the paper cup that you're here promoting. Your
paper cup, baby.
Yes, you're telling me that there's something creative around this, that this is not, you believe in this artistically. This is not about you just running around grabbing money for selling noodles. You believe in what you're making creatively.
Did you see the promo I put out?
I have not seen it.
Okay, yeah. So it's like, you got to check out some of the stuff. And yeah, man, it's fun. It's, they definitely took some time in the writing. It's not, you know, it's not killing. It's not a series, but it's got to get you and it's got to get a lot of people right away. But it definitely was having fun. And I got to improvise some stuff too.
But what happened to the O in Cup O Noodles? There used to be an O with an apostrophe. Where did it go?
Yeah, the O is gone. I got the story, but I'm going to be honest with you, I forgot. But it was there. It got me through college with that O, and now it's gone. I did definitely ask about it, and I definitely forgot what happened.
All right, so
you asked what happened to the O?
He asked. He did the research. He
forgot Steve's last name. He was, I'm concerned.
This is a man. This is a man who's lived life. He's lived big. There are things that are going to get forgotten or trampled in the past. But the when you say it got you through college. Tell me the backstory of who you were in college and how much Cup O noodles you were eating in college.
I had quite a bit of Cup O noodles in college. I was, a young man at Illinois State working on his music degree and then trying to play basketball. I tried out for the team, but looking back, I never should have even, went to the gym.
Were you the funny man on the team? Were you the guy that the other athletes liked?
I didn't make it to. But I was the funny guy. Yeah, I was all about, making people laugh on the court.
No, I'm talking about during tryouts. You said you tried out.
No. Tryouts was rough, man. They were not playing. I was just tired.
Okay, fair enough.
I was just tired and wondering, how am I so bad at basketball? This is not good.
And so you decided right then, I need some other career like comedy. I'm this bad at sports. I need to do something else.
No, I came up in music. So I thought I was going to be like an R&B singer or something. But then comedy kind of chose me. It took over.
So how does this work? Did you have the sultry tone of an R&B singer? Like, I heard some of this. You're certainly capable of it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's just like I said, comedy just took over, and the silliness. Once I realized that, people could get paid to do comedy, it was kind of a wrap.
Well, how did you realize that? Because it's not the easiest way to make a living.
I was in college, and people would come to me and say, "Craig, I was trying to tell them what you were saying the other day." Like, essentially, they were trying to repeat my bits, but I didn't. They weren't bits at the time. I was just being Craig, being silly. And I could not stop. And my father even was like, "Hey, people get paid to do this stuff." But what he didn't realize, I was like, "What?" So he was trying to, dissuade me. Next thing you know, I'm looking into it. I'm about to a book on comedy. I remember I drove to see Richard Jenny, rest in peace. But he was doing a talk at a Chicago comedy club. So I left college. I drove the 2 hours home to just check that out and drove back, So it was the first thing I took serious was comedy. And I haven't looked back. I've been loving it ever since.
Were the early days broke?
Yes. Very, very broke. Hmm. But thanks to Cup Noodles.
Yes. Yes.
I was able to eat, baby.
What
was the microwave back then? You're not supposed to do that with the old packages. But now you can. And it takes 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Wow.
You can cook it very, very quickly. Look at that sign. Billy, what's that sign behind him? We have what I believe to be the nation's foremost authority on The Masked Singer. The day after the Super Bowl a few years ago on ESPN, Billy came and started the show with a Masked Singer update. Yeah. Billy, surely you have,
bad idea.
You have questions about the room the man's sitting in, no?
Well, I assume you have a Masked Singer poster behind you there, Craig. I'm assuming this is because you're somewhere where it's produced, or you're maybe part of the Masked Dancer still, or maybe you want to sing some song.
Your first answer is correct. It's I'm over here at a Fox studio. I just did an interview, and then they were kind enough to give me a room to do some more interviews, some Zoom interviews in here.
But Billy was headed down a path, and I agree. Like, I would love to hear Craig Robinson sing his favorite song.
Well, you performed on The Masked Singer, right? Not as a contestant, but you were like a guest performer.
Yeah, but
I sang "I Will Survive" like one day coming out. Yeah. To it was so. It was like a mask. Like they had this mask. I was supposed to guess who I am. But yeah, I came out and did. I Will Survive.
I don't believe that the Zoom is going to pick up how much range this man's voice has, Stugatz, because I don't know whether, I mean, you felt like you were going to be a professional singer, correct? Like, how does one get dissuaded from that?
Well, like I said, I was in college, so, you know, I wasn't for sure, but I did. But I was like, you know, heading down that path. But again, the comedy swooped in. And was like, this is it. And you can add singing to that if you want. So that's what it was, man.
Dan, Craig, I did some research. Apparently, when it was introduced, it was Cup of Noodles. And then in 1993, they changed the name to Cup Noodles. But in 2021, to celebrate the 50th anniversary, they started making Cup O' Noodles again. Ooh. Now it's back to Cup Noodles.
Wait a minute. So... Okay, you say boom, but that means the Cup O' Noodles was a couple of years ago, but now we're back to Cup Noodles?
Anniversary, though.
Yeah, anniversary right. edition. Yeah.
It's because of the anniversary.
But now you can microwave it, Dan. 2:15.
2 minutes. He said 2:12. He said 2:12.
15. And yes, it's a paper cup now. You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Craig. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, why don't you say what's up at the show the other night, man?
Well, because you were busy being very famous, and I don't know what that whole scene is like for you guys when a bunch of famous comedians get together backstage. It seemed like, I mean, it was really I don't know whether or not, because it's such a small world and it's your world, it's weird to you to have Santino playing as the third act among eight comedians, all of whom are professional comedians, but I don't know if it's an honor for you to close that show, but those were very talented people you were playing after.
Yeah, we get some shows out here that are straight fire, and sounds like you caught one of them. But there's even some comics you never heard of that's out here that's killing the game, man. So, yeah, it's always an honor to go to be chosen to go last and then, you know, hold my own, so to speak.
Do you have a very passionate sports opinion of any sort that I can aggregate for content because you are insane with anger that the Bears are thinking of trading Justin Fields?
My pickleball team has I don't have anything.
You don't have anything. You don't care.
I get no soundbite for you.
You are about music, comedy, and noodles is what you're about. You've got
you gotta believe it. And paper.
Which paper are you talking about? The one that holds the noodles or the paper you get paid to advertise the noodles?
Let's go with both of them. But right now, that nickel paper, baby.
Quiche. It's nice seeing you, Craig. Thank you for being on the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. Good to see y'all, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Craig.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.